You're going to love this. Just love it.
Sure, that's what they always say. Absolutely
I'm
isn't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Yep.
Yes, I'm stuck in the middle with you.
From Pacifica Radio's KPFK in Los Angeles, this is your broadcast. As heard on 90.7 FM in L.A., 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, 93.7 FM San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake, California, 91.7 FM KYAQ on the beautiful Oregon Central Coast, 93 FM WLRI in lovely Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and of course, coast to coast and around the globe on kpfk.org. On the iTunes, streaming on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Indie Media Weekly, FYI Nation, Radio or Not, Radio Free Brooklyn, and Radio Sputnik, 5 days a week. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me. From bradblog.com, thank you for joining us for another thrilling, action-packed adventure. And boy, howdy, do we have one for you once again today. Election Day, of course, was on Tuesday. And as I promised on Tuesday's show, oh, brother, concerns about that election and the integrity of that election often don't even begin to reveal themselves until the hours and days and weeks and sometimes months and sometimes even years after Election Day. Well, as predicted, we've got a doozy of such a concern coming to light today in the great state of Kentucky, and I'm trying to make sense of it even as we go to air, trying to make sense of it all, as they say in the song. I've been talking to a lot of people today, trying to figure out what the hell is going on here. And of course, this is the problem. The fact that people like me even have to spend time trying to figure out what's wrong instead of having a fully public process that the citizenry, that the electorate can actually oversee. This is sort of the nightmare scenario that I always warn about, that I've been warning about now for more than a decade when it comes to elections. Now, if we have time a little bit later in the program, I'll try to get to some of the other notable results from Election Day on Tuesday. But I want to focus for a moment just on Kentucky. Kentucky was one of two states holding statewide gubernatorial elections on Tuesday. The other one was Mississippi, by the way, and that concerns a doozy as well that we'll see if we can get to. Well, I'll just toss it out here. The Democratic nominee was a truck driver that nobody ever heard of. The Democratic nominee for governor was a truck driver that no one had ever heard of, that had done no campaigning whatsoever. I think he had spent maybe a couple of $100 in total to get on the ballot for the Democratic primary. And then lo and behold, what do you know? He ended up winning and running in the general election on his family. I think he didn't even tell his family about it. Anyway, how did he become the Democratic nominee for governor in Mississippi? That may be a question for another episode of the broadcast, because we're going to go back to Kentucky for the moment, where incumbent Democratic Governor Steve Beshear was termed out this year. He was quite popular. A poll back in July of this year gave him a 51-33 approval rating amongst registered voters. That was very good, 51-33. And that despite bringing the dreaded Obamacare to Kentucky. This is one of the deep South states, one of the few that actually set up their own exchange and so forth for the Affordable Care Act. Kentucky's version of the exchange was called Kinect, K-Y-Nect, Kinect. And as part of Obamacare, Governor Beshear also expanded Medicaid to some 400,000 Kentuckians. Under Democratic Governor Beshear, according to the Kentucky Department of Medicaid Services, after Obamacare in Kentucky, flu shots were up 143%, breast cancer screenings were up 111%. Physical exams were up 187%, cervical cancer screenings up 88%, cholesterol screenings up 111%. By all measures, Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, was a great success in Kentucky, and it was quite popular. And, oh, by the way, under Governor Steve Beshear, the two-term Democratic governor of Kentucky, Kentucky's uninsured rate was cut by more than 40%. And the state employment rate was near a 14-year low. So you would think Steve Beshear, quite popular. But he was termed out. And so the Democratic Attorney General, Jack Conway, was running to take his place against Tea Party candidate Matt Bevin, who was not a great candidate. He won in a three-way race, a three-way primary recently. He was not doing well in the polls, but let's see. So it was Democratic candidate Jack Conway, Republican candidate Matt Bevin, a third-party candidate, independent candidate by the name of Drew Curtis. Jack Conway was doing pretty well in the polls, was doing very well, actually. The Democrat, Jack Conway, was beating Matt Bevin. Let's see, going back to late September, a Courier Journal Survey USA poll had Jack Conway up by 5 points in late September. In early October, a Mason-Dixon poll had Jack Conway up over Matt Bevin by 2 points. A Western Kentucky University poll in mid-October, mid to late October, had the Democrat Jack Conway up by 5 points. Courier Journal did another poll in late October with Conway up by 5 points. Another poll in late October by a Republican firm. All of those others were media and so forth. This was by a Republican firm, Vox Populi. They found a tie in that race between Jack Conway and Matt Bevin. Real Clear Politics polling average for this race going into Election Day this week had the Democrat Jack Conway up by 3 points. But a funny thing happened on Election Day. Despite Jack Conway leading in all but that one Republican poll where he was tied with the Tea Party Republican Matt Bevin in that Republican poll, this is what happened on Tuesday night in the election, as Rachel Maddow reported the breaking news on Tuesday.
There has been a shocker tonight in the results of the election for governor in Kentucky. Polls closed in Kentucky a few hours ago, and voters in Kentucky have just elected Republican Matt Bevin to be their new governor. The reason this is a shock is because all of the polls coming into tonight showed this going the other way, showed the Democrat, Jack Conway, leading by a pretty good margin in this race. Jack Conway is the state's current attorney general. He's already won statewide elected office in Kentucky, but the polls showing him leading here were apparently wrong. Matt Bevin has won by a pretty good margin this race tonight in Kentucky.
Okay, so there you go. Matt Bevin ends up winning in a shocker. The polls were apparently wrong. All of those independent polls by independent pollsters with transparent methods of doing polls, they were all apparently wrong, according to Rachel Maddow. In fact, the one poll, the only poll that matters, the actual election results found Matt Bevin, the Republican, beating Jack Conway 52.5 to 43.8. So about 9 points. He trounced them. Really, that's considered a landslide these days, a 9-point race with the Republican over the Democrat in the great state of Kentucky. Now, if you consider the pre-election polls, which showed Conway up by an average of 3, now we're talking about a swing on Election Day of 11 or 12 points. Now, one of the many concerns and problems about that race is that though Kentucky now has hand-marked paper ballots in much of the state. They used to have all touchscreen systems. Now they have hand-marked ballots in much of the state, in the largest parts of the state, Louisville, for example, Jefferson County. But the problem is, even where they have hand-marked paper ballots, they don't bother to stop and actually count those hand-marked paper ballots. They simply rely on what the optical scan machines say. And this is something we warn about all the time on this program at bradblog.com. Those results may be right, but nobody knows. Nobody knows for sure, because all we know is what the computers tell us. And we know for a fact that these computers often get the results wrong. I point you back to bradblog.com. You can look up Palm Beach County, Florida. I think it was 2010 or 2012 when the OpScan systems there, the hand count paper ballot OpScan machines, declared three races completely wrong, declared several winners to be losers and losers to be winners. And they only figured that out thanks to a sharp-eyed election director down there who said, wait a minute, this doesn't look right. And she went to court to get permission to do a hand count of those paper ballots in Florida and found that, yes, the computer got it wrong. And the company that made that OpScan computer, which is used all over the country, by the way, the same brand, Sequoia Voting Systems. The person who runs that company admitted that, yes, there is a bug in all of our tabulators that could result in the winner being declared the loser and the loser being declared the winner and so forth. So we know that accidents happen, that these systems can simply fail. We also know that insiders have direct access to these machines, to these tabulators, as we saw this week in Pima County, Arizona, when an election official was actually caught on videotape. We talked about it, was it yesterday's program or the day before, with John Brakey, an election integrity advocate out of Pima County, that's Tucson, who happened to catch this election official going in and breaking the security seals on the central tabulator after the public testing of these machines. They had the party officials, Republican and Democrat, into the county headquarters to watch the public pre-election logic and accuracy tests, and then they put seals, security seals on them, and then John Brakey, the election integrity advocate, went home, was writing up a report, turned on his computer, turned on to take a look at the security cameras that they happen to have 24/7 at this election headquarters, and saw this election official breaking the seal and going into the machine, into the central tabulator, where all you got to do is flip a few keys and boom, you can flip an entire race. So we know this happens. And I could give you example after example after example. But for now, I won't. I will get into Kentucky's rich and recent history of election fraud by insiders. I will do that shortly. But there are many reasons to be concerned. And so when I hear Rachel Maddow saying, well, the polls were apparently wrong, it kind of drives me nuts. Because we don't know if the polls were wrong or if the election results were wrong, because nobody has actually bothered to count the paper ballots in the state of Kentucky. And, of course, nobody ever can count those votes that were cast on touchscreen voting machines. So we are simply left to trust in the reports that somehow or another the results completely flipped from what they were pre-election to what the unverified and, in many cases, unverifiable results were of the election as reported by the tabulators around the state. Now, as I said, I've been working on this, last night and now throughout the day today. It is too soon to know what actually happened in Kentucky. We may, unfortunately, never know what happened in Kentucky unless some public records requests are made. Well, let me do this, because I want to get to my guest, but I want to hit you with this, and then we'll take a break, and we'll come back with my guest. I mentioned that Kentucky has a very rich and recent history of election fraud of all types. We covered in great detail at bradblog.com the case of a spate of high-ranking election officials In 2009, in Clay County, Kentucky, high-ranking election officials, including the county clerk, a circuit court judge, the school superintendent, a former magistrate, several polling place officials, all of whom were arrested in a massive vote buying and selling and electronic vote machine rigging conspiracy back in 2009, which netted the criminals millions of dollars over the past decade. The federal charges included, as I said, the county clerk and other members of the Board of Elections there in Clay County, Kentucky, having intentionally falsified election reports to include inaccurate voting results when they submitted them to the state. One Republican election official pleaded guilty after the arrest, and then the other eight were found guilty and convicted in 2010 in federal court. They were sentenced to a total of more than 1,871 months in federal prison, or 156 years collectively, for rigging elections over the decades. This was in Kentucky. And as the prosecution described, the federal prosecutor during the trial, they were buying and selling votes during the 2002, 2004, 2006 election, and they were doing it for decades prior. And as came out in this case, they were even manipulating touchscreen voting machines at the precinct after voters went in to vote. Include all of those people. In addition, there was others who were arrested as part of the conspiracy as well. One guy, Richard Brian Hubbard, who pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI after he was charged with sending a threatening photo of himself holding a gun to two people who have cooperated in the federal investigation with officials. This is serious business in Kentucky, and it has been for a long time, and it is carried out by high-ranking officials. So, are you concerned about the fact that results flipped from what the pre-election polls said they should have been to what the election results, the completely unverified election results, actually are? Election results, by the way, that could result in all of those people I mentioned, 400,000 or more Kentuckians, losing their health care because the Republican, in this case, has promised to shut down the expansion of Medicaid and the other Obamacare projects that the former Democratic governor had put in place. He promised to shut them down. And so we are to believe that Kentuckians went to the polls and voted to end all of that new health care? Maybe they did. We don't know. And that is the problem with elections like this. And there are more concerns about it. And I'm going to talk about those concerns with my guest, Carolee Coons from Crooks and Liars, right after this break. She found something that makes all of this even more troubling. So let's take a quick break. I'm Brad Friedman. This is your Bradcast. Hang in there. Yep. All right. Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com with you here talking about what the hell happened on Election Day in Kentucky when the Republican candidate who was set to lose, according to all the pre-election polls, appears to have won, according to the completely unverified election results across the great state of Kentucky, has apparently where the candidate Matt Bevin was losing by anywhere from 3 to 5 points in the pre-election poll, ended up winning by 9 points, a huge swing over Democratic Attorney General Jack Conway, even though there was a quite popular Democratic two-term governor, Steve Beshear, who was termed out and was leaving. And again, as I said before the break, as I've said many times, maybe the results are correct. But the fact that we don't know, that the public has not been allowed to oversee the tabulation of these mostly hand-marked paper ballots is a very serious concern. And there are a lot of reasons to be concerned. And I've been talking to a lot of people today including Bev Harris from Black Box Voting. I'll try to share what she had to say shortly. But first, writing over at the great Crooks and Liars blog today, Carolee Coons says her article is, "Here's what bothers me about Kentucky's election." She starts it by saying, "Kentucky has me stumped. Honestly, it does. I've been talking about it with various people, and it just makes no damn sense." She goes on to say, "It's too early to say for sure whether anything happened with those voting machines, but I worry that no one will even bother to investigate the possibility, given that the margin was so large. It is precisely because the margin is large that I think it should be scrutinized carefully." Oh, I'm with you, Carolee. She says, "I look to my friend Brad Friedman over at BradBlog for guidance on that. When he has a chance to look everything over, I'll be back with his take on things. In the meantime, you can talk me down, because if it's the voting machines, we've got a serious problem." Bad news for you, Carolee. I will not be talking you down. I will instead be having you on the show to talk about what bothers you most about this election. Carolee Coons is a researcher, writer and editor for Crooks and Liars, a great political commentary site run by our friend John Amato. Hey, Carolee, welcome to the Bradcast.
Well, thanks for having me.
Really great to have you here, and thank you for pointing out at least one really important point, really important concern about the election in Kentucky, above and beyond everything that I've gone through in the previous segment, concerning the races on the lower part of the ballot, below governor. I want to let you go through these and tell me what you make of this, and then we'll talk more about your concerns.
Okay. Well, specifically, I started out with the assumption that generally your down ballot races tend to follow or come pretty close to who's at the top of the ticket. Mm-hmm. So I looked at Jack Conway's totals, and he had about 427,000 total votes.
Right.
Allison Lundergan Grimes, who ran for Secretary of State, had almost 494,000 votes. So there's a huge difference there. I mean, it's an over 60,000 vote difference.
So the Secretary of State on the down ballot, the Secretary of State, and right. She won. She was the Democrat. She ended up winning. She got 60,000 right. more votes than the popular Democrat who was running for governor at the top of the ticket.
Correct. And so you can argue, you can say, well, in her case, she ran for the Senate against Mitch McConnell, so she had some support, she had some infrastructure in place, fine. So we move on to the next race, which was for Attorney General, mm-hmm. and that was Andy Beshear, who is the son of the popular governor in Kentucky.
Right.
And he had more votes. He had almost 480,000 votes compared to Conway's 427,000.
Right.
And he also won his race. And it was a closer race, but he won it.
But he won. So the Democrat won for Secretary of State. The Democrat won for mm-hmm. Attorney General. In both cases, right. they got way more votes than the Democrat at the top of the ticket, the former, I think he's a two-term Attorney General, Jack Conway. And
right.
the son of the popular Democratic governor, Andy Beshear, is running to take Jack Conway's place as Attorney General. He wins, and he gets more votes
right.
as well than Jack Conway.
Right.
And
so
yeah.
I'm scratching my head. I mean, I'm thinking, what could explain such a thing? Because
uh-huh.
typically what you see is a pattern of a drop-off from mm-hmm. who's... From the top of the ticket down, whether they win or they lose, you see a drop in the number of votes cast for those offices. It's
right.
like people will, you don't see it go the other way. You don't see it where your guy at the top of the ticket gets mm-hmm. way less votes than the ones that are down ticket from him. And that
right.
just has left me mystified, honestly. I went through in my mind whether it was the Kim Davis thing, that the fact that he was Attorney General, that if you look at the...
And this is,
well, Kim Davis was.
Let me just remind people, Kim Davis was the county clerk from Rowan County, Kentucky, who had refused to give out marriage licenses. She was supposedly a Democrat in this state. So you were thinking that maybe somehow what Kim Davis did, standing against marriage equality, somehow hurt Democratic Attorney General Jack Conway, who's running for governor?
Right. And my thinking was because, the whole thing, there was a big legal kerfuffle. He had to be involved in it as Attorney General. So I thought, well, maybe in general, they just went against, Democrats voted against him. But that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
It does not make that kind of, especially when he won the county where Tim Davis was, lives in, Becker County.
The Democrat, Jack Conway, ended up winning in Rowan County?
Yes, by 3%.
Okay.
So I sort of discarded that argument. There was an independent candidate who ran, but the number of votes that he garnered altogether, even if you gave them all to Jack Conway, which would be unreasonable to do, if you gave them all to him, it still wouldn't come up to the level to exceed any of these other Democrats. So that argument, it's not an the independent really didn't factor that much into that race. So there was that. And so that's an argument that I got rid of. And then I've been told that there were big ad buys at the end of the campaign. And now the science I've read on that says that you can, for every million that you spend on an ad buy, you might move the electorate one percentage point. And I'm pulling that out of a past article that I read, so I might be a little wrong on the math, but it's right around in that that neighborhood. And so they bought $1 million of ads in Kentucky. And how do you win by 9 points? Something just doesn't make sense in all of this. Now, that doesn't mean that the voting machines are wrong. It just means that something isn't clicking for me on all of this.
And you're absolutely right, Carol Lee. And this is why I wanted to have you on. Because, look, as I have said, I've said this many, many years, others have said it as well, that the sign of a successful election is when the losing candidate and the losing candidate's supporters walk away knowing that they got a fair shot, but that they lost the race. And that is the best thing for democracy, when the losers walk away feeling like, well, we lost the election, we're heartbroken about it, but it was a good election, we did our best, and that's that, and then we'll try again next time in 4 years or 2 years or whatever it is. But you're, an unabashed supporter of progressives, of Democrats. I'm sure you would have liked to have seen Jack Conway win that race for governor to follow up after Democratic Governor Steve Beshear. But you're looking at this thing and you're saying this doesn't make any sense. Now, maybe it does make sense. Maybe this is exactly the way the results came out. But the fact that nobody actually bothers to count these ballots, leaving people like you to say, is this a legitimate result? I would argue that's a grave threat in and of itself to democracy, which is why I've been arguing against these systems for so many years. Now, Bev Harris, who literally wrote the book on black box voting from blackboxvoting.org, I talked to her today. She's trapped. She's on the road. She hasn't gotten to look in great detail yet at this specific race. But she regards what you found in particular, Carol Lee, the fact that these down ballot races had higher vote counts for the Democrats than the governor did at the top. She called this, quote, a significant anomaly. She said that this is basically, they have the opportunity to do this very easily due to the central programming in each county. All you got to do is shave a few votes. She said the results were problematic in a number of ways, as I described them to her. And she said public records requests need to happen for logs and polling tapes and so forth. She's as troubled about this as you were. And, she knows how these systems work. This just drives me crazy, Carol Lee. And that's why I wanted to bring you on. I complain about this all the time, but you don't. So I wanted to give you the chance to vent a little bit about this and share what your concerns are.
Well, my concerns are that this is a testing ground for 2016. That's what my concerns are. We've got some nice races here in some nice states, and if we're going to cheat, why not cheat on a low turnout election in 2015 just to see how it works out and whether or not anybody smells that rat before it actually happens? Now, look, I will say this over and over again. I am not saying that Conway wouldn't have lost anyway. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just don't have confidence that what I'm looking at is the whole picture. Mm-hmm. And that's really my problem with this. I'm not one of these people that's out there saying there's some big conspiracy. In fact, I've worked to try to get to where voting machines weren't an issue mm-hmm. on this, and I keep coming back to voting machines. That's my problem. And because
I know the feeling, Carolee.
Right, and I've gone through now. I've got county by county, sort of all the differences, and I haven't really had a chance to analyze those numbers. I'd like to. But my gut tells me that when we dig into the numbers and we dig into the precincts, there's going to be anomalies in the results mm-hmm. and that are not explainable. And that's why it's critical that we get explanations, that we understand what happened, that those requests get made so that we can be confident in the 2016 results. Because there's a lot at stake, yep. There was a lot at stake in Kentucky last night, and there's going to be a lot at stake in 2016.
We do need to know. And your concerns, and I know you're not alone, this is what drives me crazy, that we can't know, that we can't know unless people get in there and start making public records requests. Now, one of the other things Bev Harris from blackboxvoting.org told me, she said, until more records are looked at, that it has to be looked at as a questionable outcome, particularly because of the discrepancies in the down ballot races, the ones that you identified, Carolee. Bev says more vote. She says actually the same thing that you just said on air, more votes in those races and not at the top. That just doesn't happen. And she goes on to say, look, they've got the means, the motive, and the opportunity to game the system. Doesn't mean that they did, but they've got all of that. It's fairly easily done, certainly by insiders in Kentucky. And she says the fact that they don't actually, she points out that she believes that they do recounts in Kentucky. If anybody asks for a recount, they'll just run the paper ballots through the same computers that they ran through in the first place. They don't even do hand counts. At least that's what her best recollection is. And she says, listen, if you have a bank and the bank decides that you won't really know if the numbers are right or wrong, how long will it be before some enterprising accountant at the bank decides to put a few dollars in their pocket? Go ahead.
No, I'm disagreeing with you. Yeah. I totally think that's right. That it's, if the opportunity exists, someone's going to be an opportunist.
And it's not only for Democrat. I wanted to have you on because you had concerns about this in particular. But you probably remember my coverage throughout the years, Carolee, at bradblog.com. I went to bat for Tea Party Joe Miller up in Alaska when he had a similar concern about his Senate race. I went to bat for crazy Alan West down in Florida, the Republican down there, when he had similar concerns about the voting machines. To me, this has never been a matter of right and left. This has always been a matter of right and wrong. And it's not just about any one particular race, any one particular Democrat or even Republican or even presidential, your concerns about the 2016 race. This is about public oversight and having confidence in our public elections. Because if we don't, what the hell are we doing here?
Right. Well, I was just going to say, we've already got the issue of money in the election mm-hmm. and that, people's confidence is undermined because of all the dark money in the election.
Yep.
If we can't have confidence in the count and we don't have confidence because of the money, I don't see how we have much of a democracy. I mean, I think there has to be some integrity in this process somewhere. And that has to be at the voting booth.
Well, there is integrity at the voting booth in that the voters are doing fine. As I always say when Republicans talk about voter fraud, the voters are doing fine. Leave them alone.
Right.
It's mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's elections and the concerns of election administrators and insiders and the unoverseeable voting systems that we use. That is the biggest problem. And you are never going to have, Carolee, you're never going to have, what was the word you used? Integrity. Yeah, integrity. You're never going to have that. In other words, people want to game elections. Bad guys want to steal elections. You have to presume there won't be integrity. What you need to have, well, that's the safest presumption, right? You don't presume the bank is, nobody's going to break in. We'll leave the safe open tonight. You presume there are bad guys out there. The way you combat it is with oversight. And when you take away the citizen oversight, I mean, there is no way that, what, how many, was it half a million, what was the results? Okay, just about 1 million votes were cast in Kentucky yesterday in, at least in the governor's race. There's no way they had all of those ballots counted in time for Rachel Maddow to go on the air about an hour after polls closed and say that, you know, Matt Bevin has won. The way they can do that is because they run it through a computer. They don't actually count those ballots. Nobody knows if they got it right or wrong. And we have media folks like Rachel Maddow who just say, well, I guess the pre-election polls were wrong because the election results, they're always right. That's not the case. We don't oversee them. We don't count them. Carolee Coons, what do you do when people confront you and say, well, you're just a sore loser because you're a Democrat and you wanted Jack Conway to win? Or they say you're a conspiracy theorist at this point. What's your response to that?
Well, on the sore loser thing, I'm not begrudging Matt Bevin the win. He may have won. I just want to know that he won. I want to have confidence in the results. That's, I mean, I don't, if he won, he won. Mm-hmm. But I just don't feel like these results are honestly reporting what actually may have happened in Kentucky. That's all I can say to that.
What would give you that confidence, Carolee?
Well, I think the confidence would have to come from counting ballots. Actually hand counting them, not running them back through the machine again. I've worked as a precinct worker in elections. I know what these optical scan machines do, and I've seen them eat ballots and all the rest of it, and I know we try really hard to make sure that it's in this precinct, mm-hmm. that the, you know, when people cast their votes, they're properly counted and everything, but they're not properly counted until they're counted with eyeballs and actual human hands on the ballot, as far as I'm concerned. And that may sound impractical. I don't think it is. I'm looking at the numbers in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's impractical to do that. I think it could be done.
Well, it can be done. Yes, it's done in places like New Hampshire in the towns there, and they count all of their ballots by hand in about 40% of the towns in New Hampshire. They're often done well before the Diebold optical scan towns in New Hampshire on election night. But look, we had the same problem going back to 2008 when Barack Obama won in Iowa. Everyone thought he was going to win in New Hampshire in the primary in 2008. Hillary Clinton ends up winning. And everybody goes, oh, my gosh, what a surprise. The pre-election polls, you know, got it completely wrong. And this, they said, without anybody actually bothering to count the actual paper ballots in those great big cities in New Hampshire. And, you know, this led to recounts and everything else where they had paper ballots. I don't know if we're going to get that in Kentucky. Bev Harris, again, points me at blackboxvoting.org to the toolkit that she has available for people to make public records requests. And Carolee, you got a big audience, I know, over there at crooksandliars.com. They can start making public records requests all over the place. You can find that toolkit with descriptions of how to make these public records requests in the various counties and in the state, for things like poll tapes that were printed out at the precinct on election night. So those poll tapes that are printed out by the machines there can be compared with the results as reported by the central tabulator and, you know, on the websites and so forth, because that's where we find anomalies all the time. Blackboxvoting.org/toolkit.pdf. And that'll take you, you know, to that particular rabbit hole and bring you to a toolkit for making public records requests, the type of things that you want to ask for in those public records requests, zero tapes, poll tapes that are, you know, date and time stamped, modem logs, the statement of votes cast at each precinct and so forth, so that we can begin to make sense, or at least try to make sense of these elections and determine if we had it right, I should say, if the machines had it right or if they had it wrong.
Right. That would be great. I mean, if it came out that the machines had it right, it would be like, okay, fine, we're done then. We've done what we can do. If, on the other hand, they don't, then we can fix that problem.
Good luck. Glad you're on this fight, Carol Lee, because I need you on it. I need everybody on it. I've been on it, as you know, for more than a decade at this point. And this is the kind of thing, this is the nightmare scenario where you have an election where the results simply don't make sense to a lot of people. And you have people walking away and saying, you know what, why bother voting? And what do you say to that? Why bother voting, Carol Lee, if you know, we're going to have results that don't make sense to the electorate anyway? Why should I even bother to register and vote in 2016 as you see it?
Because you should vote, and we should find out if there's a problem before then. But your vote is still got to count. And what we're talking about here is trying to make every vote count. You're walking away isn't the answer. It's not that walking away just means that there won't have to be any cheating. So, that's not the right thing to do. We want to fight. In fact, I would say that had turnout been higher in Kentucky, had more people gone out and voted in Kentucky, maybe we wouldn't be having this discussion right now. I don't know. I just don't know. That's the problem.
Yeah, well,
something here instinctively makes me cringe.
And that, by the way, is also a real maybe. And I would caution you and others. I hear this a lot of times after an election, you know, after the New Hampshire anomaly. You have all these people reverse engineering the results. Oh, well, the reason why Hillary was losing in all the pre-election polls and she ended up winning in New Hampshire was because she cried over the weekend at a town hall affair. Remember that? You can always go back and find reasons. You can find excuses. Oh, well, it was low voter turnout in Kentucky. And it was. It was just about 30%, a little bit over. It was 30.7%, according to the Kentucky Board of Elections. Really low turnout, except, Carol Lee, if you go back to 2011, the previous off year election, when the Democratic governor was reelected for his second term, the turnout there was only 28.6%. It was even lower, and yet the Democrat won.
Right.
So, you know,
I would
always caution against this reverse engineering, coming up with reasons why this result might be right. It very well may be right, but why should we have to guess? Why should we have to reverse engineer an election and presume, especially when we've got goddamn hand-marked paper ballots that we can just count by human beings?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And that's what I want, and I want it in this race more than any other I've seen in a long time, because there's something that just doesn't smell right. I mean, I'm looking at the differences, and they just don't make sense. They simply do not make sense.
Go out and get it, Carol Lee, and let me know how I can help. I want it in this race as well, but I want it in every single race, and it starts by people trying to make sense of a race that they give a damn about, instead of waiting until it's, you know, too late. And, you know, well, anyway, you got the idea. Carol Lee, thanks for what you're doing and keeping an eye on this. Keep digging. Keep making noise. Let me know how I can help. I'm going to do my best anyway to try and stay on this. But everyone should follow your work closely. You can find Carol Lee, spelled K-A-R-O-L-I. It's a ridiculous spelling that ought to get her disqualified from running for any office any time. But K-A-R-O-L-I on Twitter. And, of course, over at crooksandliars.com, she's Carol Lee there as well. Thanks, Carol Lee, and stay in touch.
Thank you, Brad.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and come back with a few more election results that'll either drive you crazy or not here on the broadcast. Oh, brother, I'm Brad Friedman. Stay tuned.
What is known, and the evidence is clear, I'm not alone, there are thousands of us here. This is my democracy, you won't go telling me, my vote don't matter anymore, and is not worth fighting for.
Yeah, it is worth fighting for. Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Talking about Election Day on Tuesday, what happened in Kentucky, and I'll get to some of the other races of note momentarily. I called the Kentucky Attorney General's office, Jack Conway. He's the Attorney General. He's the AG, as well as being the Democrat who apparently, we are told, lost the race for governor, could result in hundreds of thousands losing their health care in the great state of Kentucky. Basically, they said that that they would not. I asked if they were concerned about the results, among other things. I spoke with someone over at, this is again Jack Conway's office as Attorney General, not his campaign office. I wanted to find out, you know, if there were more complaints than usual to their election fraud hotline. Yes, they have an election fraud hotline. He said that they received 52 election fraud complaints from 27 different counties. And by way of comparison, they received 226 calls from 50 counties last year in 2014 when they had that big U.S. Senate race, which Mitch McConnell ended up winning majority leader of the U.S. Senate in Kentucky. So, no, there weren't, problems reported at the polling place that were any greater than any other time. I asked if he had the communications director there, Leland Hulbert, if he had concerns about the results as they came in. He said he couldn't comment on that under law, that they're not allowed to comment on any sort of irregularities that may or may not be being investigated by the Attorney General's office. He gave me the contact number over at the Conway campaign. I called over there to try to get comment. I've yet to hear back from them. So, you know, we'll just keep looking at this. This is what we have come to in this country when we've got third parties, often commercial parties, as we have in much of the state of Kentucky, a company by the name of HARP. Does the printing of the paper ballots and the programming of the many of the touchscreen machines. And based on the way you print those ballots, you can flip the tabulators. So you got a third party doing that. You've got insider election officials who can do basically anything they want with impunity. And then you got a whole bunch of Republicans pretending that we need to be concerned about what voters are doing at the polls. Did you had a thought, Desi Doyen, our producer? I know you haven't piped in today yet.
No, not yet.
You had a thought on all of this?
Just taking what Carol Lee had said about the importance of getting this right, because you know this could obviously there's no evidence of election wrongdoing, no evidence of it yet, but this could have been or could be a test case for the 2016 election. My question is, were there exit polls? You know, now granted, there are some issues with exit polls, supposedly.
Sometimes. That's what they claim. That's what they claim in New Hampshire. I mentioned the New Hampshire primary in 2008. The exit polls also showed that Barack Obama was going to win. The exit polls, the polls that are taken when people walk out of the polling place. You know, so not who are they going to vote for. You don't have to guess if they're going to vote. This is people walking out of the polling place being asked, hey, who did you just vote for? And I've got audio tape. We could go back and find it of Chris Matthews saying they were looking at MSNBC. They were looking at the exit polls all day as they were coming in. It showed Obama winning. I got a big pollster who sent me email saying the same exact thing. they thought that Obama was going to win. And then the results come out and boom, what do you know? Hillary Clinton won.
And it used to be that exit polls were the way to double check because exit polls were found to be very reliable up until the 2000 election when suddenly we had that big problem in Florida.
You can't rely on the exit polls
anymore. And then
suddenly
exit polls were discredited. So I'd be interested, and I looked them up, and I haven't been able to find it yet, but I'm interested in what the exit polls in Kentucky had to say and if they match or even closely resemble the results that were reported by the Secretary of State's office in Kentucky.
And I haven't yet seen any of those. As I said at the top of the show, this is early stuff. We'll see what happens. We'll see what comes in. I don't even know yet if there were exit polls. But, you know, I'm not the only one who thinks that this doesn't make sense, obviously. Steve Bannon, speaking of MSNBC, says Kentucky's uninsured rate was cut by over 40%. State employment rate is near 14-year low. Maybe voters were tired of success and wanted something new.
Except in the other top-tier elections that were up
exactly.
Secretary of State and for Attorney General, those were Democrats that were voted in.
Where the Democrats not only won, but they won with tens of thousands of more votes than the guy at the top of the ticket, the popular Attorney General at the top of the ticket. Brian Butler says, condolences to 400,000 new Kentucky Medicaid beneficiaries. You just lost your coverage, perhaps, with this new governor. And then, you know, the son of the governor wins for attorney general. Andy Beshear, the Democratic son. All right, let me just hit. We've got a few more minutes left. Unless you had another thought you wanted to get out.
The only thought I do, I have one thought, which is election protection for 2016 starts now. We are a year out from the 2016 election. And the worst time to try to start figuring out if your elections have integrity is the day after the election.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So this would be a good time for people to start paying attention to the steps that they can take. You can take action and you can affect what happens locally and in your state and in the national election by starting now by paying attention to what's going on with your local election administration.
I'd love to hear from whistleblowers out there who saw anything and know anything, any insiders. We often hear from them. You can reach me. My email is bradcast@bradblog.com. Otherwise, I'll try to put a link up to this toolkit over at blackboxvoting.org. blackboxvoting.org/toolkit.pdf. That actually links to another document to give you specifics on tips for getting the records that you want after elections. But go ahead to blackboxvoting.org/toolkit.pdf, and then you'll see the link to the guide for requesting public documents.
What you can do.
Under Freedom of Information Act requests and so forth. Yeah, boy, drives me crazy. All right, and by the way, Bev Harris said specifically she'd like to see the detailed precinct results in Jefferson County, which is Louisville, one of the biggest, I think the biggest county in the state, Fayette County, which is Lexington, and she says also maybe where Bowling Green University is. You know, records, tapes, breakdowns of precincts, polling tapes at those precincts, and more. Okay, got just a few minutes left here, so let me hit some of these other races, and we will presume for the moment, who knows, if these results are correct. These are the results that came in after polls closed on Election Day, and almost none of them are actually overseen and counted and verified by actual human beings. For example, marijuana legalization failed in Ohio. It lost almost 2-1. Issue 3 was on the ballot there. It would have permitted commercial production and sale of marijuana. But the catch was it would be by what amounted to a monopoly of 10 wealthy businessmen around the state. So there was a lot of blowback against that. Not entirely surprising that it lost by a 2-1 margin. It would have given a monopoly to these people.
As the growers.
Yeah, to the growers, to these businessmen who put the initiative on the ballot themselves. So not totally surprising. Redistricting reform, however, passes in Ohio. This is a big blow against gerrymandering. It wins by more than 2-1. according to the reported results. Issue 1 creates a process for drawing legislative districts to discourage dominant parties from setting boundaries that strongly favor themselves. This will require the other major party to agree to the map. That's some good news. In Colorado, three right-wing school board members who were backed by the Koch brothers, they were recalled in a school board election where millions of dollars, I think, or at least $1 million was spent in this thing trying to get these right-wingers out. They wanted a review of the history curriculum in schools in this Colorado county to promote patriotism rather than, you know, promoting history. They have been removed. That was some good news from Election Day on Tuesday. In Virginia, Republicans retain control of the Virginia State Senate. Very interesting. No incumbent lost and not a single seat was flipped in the Senate. Republicans keep control of the Senate 21-19. Had just one Democrat been able to pick up a Republican seat, that would have made it a 20-20 tie in the Senate. And with a Democratic governor there, I should say with a Democratic lieutenant governor, it would have given Democrats the majority in the Senate, who could have then worked with the Democratic governor to expand Obamacare, expand Medicaid under Obamacare, as they've been trying to do. That would have brought health care to hundreds of thousands of folks in Virginia. But alas, that is not to be, it seems, for now. Issue 1 in Maine also passed, strengthening Maine's Clean Elections Act. That's more good news for elections. That will increase funding for the Maine Clean Elections Act by closing corporate tax loopholes, increasing penalties for violating campaign finance disclosure rules. Oh, that's good. Penalties and sanctions would be doubled for violations when they occur within 24 days before an election, tripled when violations occur within 14 days before an election. So there's some good news there. What else do we have? I already mentioned in Mississippi, where Republican Governor Phil Bryant wins his second term as Mississippi governor. He defeated Democratic nominee truck driver Robert Gray, who no one had ever heard of. Even Robert Gray's wife apparently didn't vote for him in the primary because she didn't know that he was running. Just amazing. How did that happen? How did this guy, no one who had ever heard of, actually win the Democratic nomination? We don't know. We have no idea in Mississippi. We have no more idea in Mississippi than we have in Kentucky if the Republican actually won the race for governor on Tuesday. That is what has come of our elections in this country, and that is what we talk about for so many years on this program. It drives me crazy, but again, it's a short drive. All right, I got to get out. My thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen, to our booking goddess, Cynthia Cohn. This story will continue. And to my guest today, Carolee Coons of crooksandliars.com. We'll be back with you. Same Brad time, same Brad channel tomorrow. Until then, you can download, if you missed any portion of today's show, download it at bradblog.com. Or over at iTunes, we post all of our shows online. Yes, we have transparency. You can also reach me. My email is bradcast@bradblog.com or on the Twitters and the Facebooks at The Brad Blog. All right, we'll talk to you again soon. I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.